Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And now back to Moneyline with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
Back at it, hour number two. Oh, it's good stuff here. I mean, if you guys are on a Twitter, I mean, your boy K-Dub, look, he doesn't work that much, but he goes to a lot of sporting events. And some of my timeline there includes Kevin at Knicks games, Nets games, wherever. He's all over the place. But it is hour number two. We'll see if Kevin appears somewhere a little bit later this week. But before, we've got to check in to see where JP's going tonight. The props tonight. I'm just talking about looking at points. LaMelo Ball, Terry Rozier, Gordon Hayward, Mark Williams, and Killian Hayes on the board. I said I'm going with a LaMelo Ball prop. Like, I don't know what prop he's going with, but it's LaMelo is on fire. Like, you just pencil him into, like, points, rebounds, and assists in the 40s every night, it feels like.
Yeah, he's been excellent. I'm going to say he goes back to Killian Hayes, though. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. So that's my guess.
What do you got, JP?
Yeah, I went with Donnie, nailed it. Points, rebounds, and assists, LaMelo.
Wow. Finally broke the streak. Oh, my goodness, that feels good to finally break that streak there. There you go. LaMelo Ball, you can't go wrong. And by the way, you know, I went 1-1 on Friday night. I had, why am I slipping a bell here? Toronto, excuse me, the Minnesota Timberwolves. Mm-hmm. Who's the guard?
Edwards?
There you go. Yes, Anthony Edwards. Yes, I had him points, rebounds, and assists over 40.5, which ends up hitting. It was actually between him and LaMelo Ball. They both hit it, so I was lucky there. I'm going to tell you right now, I saw your tweet. I had Vucevic over 10.5 rebounds, I want to say. He had like 9 in midway through the third quarter, and all I did was look at the score and go, you've got to be kidding me. He probably would get 18 rebounds tonight if he was allowed to play all the way through. Everybody on the bench was getting involved there. So I know you had a 3-point prop almost the opposite way, right? It was such a bad blowout that he didn't even get to play anymore, whoever your guy was.
It was Cam Johnson who made his first 2 threes. I've never had a player over 2.5 threes go 2 for 2 and lose the bet. He finished the game 2 for 8. Like, the blowout obviously took minutes away, Donnie. He still got his, though. So where I couldn't even – the blowout didn't help.
It probably could have helped too once you had 2 because, hey, we're down 30. Yeah. What are we doing, driving to the basket and laying it up? No, we're not. We're just firing from 3 repeatedly.
So the best is I then actually went back to him yesterday. I'm like, listen, the cap is still there. The price is still good. I'm going to bet this. And he had 12 points in the first quarter, and he had not yet made a single 3. He had not even attempted one. So I start going through these, like, research, like, kind of points for Cam Johnson, upsetting myself. He's never scored double digits in his career without making a 3. Then he was up to 20 points, and he had only made 1 3. He had never once in his life been able to get to 20 without making 3 threes, which would be the winning of my bet. I'm losing my mind. He goes out there in the fourth quarter, hits 1, I need 1 more. He hit the three to tie it at 127 up. He hit that prop with 6 seconds left. So it was, I actually, to be fair, and again, you're the one who told me this, I had things break my way this weekend. We were flirting around with a couple of bad beats, but I had 3 college bets, Donnie. One of them was Virginia UNC over 131.5. The game landed 136. That was the biggest margin I won any of my bets by.
Wow.
Like the 4 points. Like it was, but I went a little 3-0 on a 3-pack of college basketball. It was a nice weekend in that way.
Yeah, it was. I'll tell you what was good, because as I brought up the Friday show that we did, which included Thursday, we looked at the Saturday games, and I went back in my notes. I didn't bet them all. I just bet a couple of them. It was a real, the radar was on. I think I lost one total. It was 131, ended up being 131.5, which it landed at 130. But everything else, told you Gonzaga was going to win that game. We were also looking at UNC. We knew that was going to go down. A couple high-scoring ones, too. Remember I was talking about the smaller conferences. Troy absolutely annihilated their total, and there was another small game that annihilated their total also. So it was pretty good last week. Now today, college basketball gets back to form. We got the A-Sun tournament. There are a couple things to like, but I'm really looking forward to the next 2 weeks. And also, next week, college basketball, not this week, because the big boys don't get into play. When we got day basketball, the Big Ten and the Big 12 and the ACC, you know what I mean? You just get off a show, you're handicapped in the middle of the afternoon, and 12 o'clock, it's Syracuse and NC State. From 5,000 people watching, but who cares, right? It's a noon on a Thursday. Ooh, can this team get hot? I really enjoy that here. Now, JP, give us a little splash here. Give us a little splash, because when we talked about, the Charlotte Hornets, and they don't have really many highlights outside of LaMelo Ball, but it's apparent that maybe their announcer is keeping it real night to night here. Give me some highlights here, JP. What do we got?
Gordon picks up another loose ball. LaMelo! Shot clock doesn't reset. Look at Kai Jones. What's this going to be? Oh! Are you kidding me? Kai Jones! Rozier.
Man.
Going to have to put something up.
I mean, that's not an NBA Finals call. That's a bad basketball team. The dunk had me going, though. I mean, this guy looked like
the
best
one.
Where did he end up? At the three-point line? By the way, is it calling that game?
What's this going to be? Ah! That's so good.
Yeah, that is good.
That's the best.
That is good.
Oh, that's the best.
When Gus lets it rip, it's a big game and it's a lot of fun. I need that sometimes, because sometimes the NBA calls are very dry. And that's a really bad basketball team that guy's bringing it every night to. That's pretty good stuff here.
God.
That really is good stuff to listen to. So maybe JP's hoping for more of those highlights tonight from LaMelo Ball. Probably gets there. We'll be right back. It's hour number two of Money.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number two certainly underway. 844-843-6879. The phone lines to get through if you want to give us a buzz. It is Combine Week this week. Now, it's a big production. The NFL is very smart. Each and every month, it seems outside the season, there's something to look forward to, right? Free agency, draft, OTAs, whatever. Combine, you got it all. Now, the Combine is coming up. I've never been and again, some people say, you're kind of weird, DRS. I love football more than anything in my life, and I hate some of the things that football does. I think the combine is a huge waste of time. The draft is cool just for your team alone, and outside of the first round, I think it's boring as all get out. But the combine for me never did anything. I never the combine's here. I can't wait to see this guy actually work out. Do you enjoy the combine? Because some people put a lot of thought process into it, and I get a kick out of it, because God bless those people that hey man, this guy should be a third day pick or whatever. I think he moves up to the second day. I like the passion that they give out. I just can't buy into it. That's all.
No, I don't sit there and get excited. I also think that it's almost tough to follow to me. And this is probably because some guys have been, in more recent years dropping out and they just do the pro days. But if you would tell me hey, the four top quarterback prospects are about to do their throwing drills, turn on NFL Network, I'd turn it on if I wasn't watching anything else, right? Like, I wouldn't mind watching that. But also, I'm not going to watch it and be like, you know what? Opinion changed here. I've been hard on Will Levis. I mean, this guy's a superstar. You know what I'm saying? And all, like, the 40-yard times, right? Like, if they could advertise, like, hey, listen, Anthony Richardson is about to run the 40. Oh, okay, I'll check that out. That's 10 seconds of viewing. I'm not sat there watching 40s all day.
Yes.
Like, that's, you know what I mean? Like, that's not a good time.
Like the cone drill and, you know, the winners and the losers of the day. And I can't, because here's what you're going to see. A lot of kids you never heard of blaze a 40 that's incredible. And you say, well, where did he go? Some Division II program you didn't even think had a football school. There's a reason why they're there. Yeah, they're fast. They just can't play football. But I do get a kick out of how, like, ooh, is he a riser and who you would take this guy? Look, we know who's a really good football player in college. We know who's not a great football player in college. But also, like are we going to, like, man, do you see Will Levis out there? Like, nobody was defending the wide out. What a 15-yard out. Like, you could go out in the backyard and throw a 15-yard out on air. I just like the fact where you're going to hear, like, boy, I thought he was really impressive at the combine in his throwing drill. Why? Didn't you watch him throw the football in pads?
Yeah, I think that stuff is odd. I think... To defend it a little bit, there's seven rounds, right? 256 picks. So if you're going to find out some information on your sixth-round draft choice and all that, because we don't care, but they need to. It's their job. But it's the guys that find their way from round three projection to the 20th overall pick that you always go, wow, that's a lot, huh? How do we do that? How do
like,
we...
Like, answer me this, though, Kevin. Richardson, he's the lightning rod. And again, I'm not saying, like, he would be... If you're a GM, he's a fun quarterback. If you're playing Madden, he is a fun quarterback. Because if you look at him and say, if I just could find a coach that puts everything together, I don't know how you stop this kid. Because every time he drops back the pass, nobody would get a finger on him, and he could do whatever he wants. But there's a reason why he's not the greatest football player we've ever seen. There's a reason why he went to Florida and didn't perform all that well. But the upside is what gets a lot of these general managers in trouble at this point. But having said that, the rising that, like, we're talking about a guy that's like, I don't even know if he's... Nobody really said he wasn't draftable, right? Nobody probably said, well, he's probably going to be a sixth rounder. But the hurricane force winds pushing him all the way up from like 100-1 to, I don't know, the favorite eventually to be the number one overall pick. How do we get there? We've known this guy. We've seen this guy. We know how athletic he is. Nobody ever was watching him play at Florida, Kevin, and said, that's the number one pick in the draft.
So this is to me a, but I can't, I wish we could talk to guys in the room. Why do you hang Anthony Richardson at 100-1? He is a quarterback that is receiving round one hype.
Mm-hmm.
Of course his odds are going to start to move. That's just that. That isn't that natural? Because Donnie, Will Levis had a similar move.
Limit the exposure. Yeah, limiting the exposure from the book's end, yes.
But I wonder if there is a thought from the books. This is the day, you know, Sharapan would say this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. Let's go hang these juicy numbers out there because we want to be the book in town that's getting Anthony Richardson to go first overall. Because he's not going first overall. See, this is the funny thing. We go, man, what's all this buzz about? Donnie, he's still 10-1 to go first. He's not going first. So that there's this kind of thing where, and I think it's relevant to talk about, but that Anthony Richardson move really about solidifying he's a round one pick, probably a top 10 pick. I actually think we could see four quarterbacks inside the top 10, which is interesting based on last year seeing only one quarterback in the first two rounds. But I don't think Anthony Richardson's a real threat to be selected first overall. It doesn't feel like it to me.
No, Bryce Young -175, C.J. Stroud +350, Will Levis 8-1, Jalen Carter 10-1, and Anthony Richardson 10-1, and then everybody's favorite underdog, Will Anderson, 14-1. It is going to be a quarterback that does go number one overall, so we can parlay this right into the Chicago Bears. Extremely devoid of talent. A quarterback, again, on the level of better features than, let's just say, Anthony Richardson. Maybe bigger, I don't know about faster, but possibly stronger. He's done everything he's supposed to do. Talking about Justin Fields. But still, I know you're on the fence about can he be a sensational quarterback. The talent is there, but we know you don't just win by running around. Like, you have to make plays. And yes, we're going to take a little bit of with a grain of salt because what was he supposed to do with that Bears offense? But it's kind of interesting where now they're saying, okay, looks like we're going to keep him here. Who even knows if he wants to be there by saying, man, it's really cold and we need a dome. That's not coming anytime soon. So that automatically gets on your, you know, maybe this is interesting. So my thought process for you here, what happens with him? What happens with Justin Fields? A, stay in Chicago. B, do they entertain thoughts of trading him or just the first round pick or first overall pick? And also, where is his trajectory as a quarterback in the NFL for you?
Yeah, so I kind of told you this jokingly off air. I feel like I'm going to end up turning on Justin Fields, who's been one of my guys.
First game with him at home, right? Back in the day. Didn't you go to a preseason game where Justin Fields lit it up?
Oh, no, he was terrible in the game, I think, though. I think Trubisky lit it up for
Buffalo. Didn't he run, though? Oh, did he? Yeah.
Yeah.
I know you were there for like one of the first looks at him, I think.
Yeah. Well, no, I actually was. That's a good memory out of you, actually. That's pretty.
See that?
That's impressive. Yeah, we don't expect that from you.
Like, oh, you do.
Here's my immediate takeaway, though, to one of the questions you asked of where do we expect him to land, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think part of the reason this report comes out from Adam Schefter, again, sources are people in the know, and this stuff gets out for a reason. Do you think that report got out more because the Bears wanted to let Justin Fields know, hey, look, man, I know you're hearing a lot. You're our guy. We're trading the pick. You're our quarterback. Is that a potential reason for that? Because I've been thinking about that, Donnie. Why did it come out the Bears are leaning towards trading the pick? Like, I don't know what kind of report is that, right? Like, wasn't that the case the second they ended up with the first overall pick? Isn't that what we thought?
It's basically Adam Schefter needing to get, like, Combine Week started. So you saw when that there was a very appropriate text at the time. You know how, I do, because there's no substance behind that, Kevin. You can ask the, hey, Bears, what would you like to do? Well, if we got three first-rounders for the top pick, yeah, we're going to trade them. If we got three first-rounders for Justin Fields, we trade them. But, you know, we don't think that's going to happen. We're leaning towards trading the first picks. And also the point of being, you know, you have a franchise guy. And I'm not saying that, you know, they should be soft on their feelings. But, you know, it feels a lot better. You get a phone call from the GM going, this report just came out where they said, we're thinking about, you're going nowhere. Like, this pick is on sale. You're a franchise guy. But yet they just play that angle of like, hey, you never know. And it leads me to be like, oh, well, I know your quarterback hears that as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they hear everything, these players. Justin Fields knows. He's well aware.
Yep, we're ready for it. It's hour number two, football, basketball, everything you need right here on The Grid. Come on back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Radio Network.
Phone lines are open here. Hour number two, 844-843-6879. And just like that, Gary from Texas is on the line here on a Monday, ready to get a pop. And what's up, Gary?
Oh, nothing much. Just happy about my Astros 2-0 start. You know how it is. But so I do want to talk a little baseball. You know, about the pitch clock. I want you to tell me. Can you name me who the slowest pitcher was? You know, by Statcast stats last year. It's a starting pitcher, a major name.
Jose Quintana. Yeah, I don't even know. Who would be the slowest kid?
Well, they don't call him Slohei Ohtani for nothing. Shohei Ohtani was 15.7 seconds. And the next worst is 66 pitchers averaged, worse than that. And he was one of them. And another one was Luis Garcia. Now, his is because he has this rock the cradle thing, which he cannot do anymore. You see, so, but Shohei's a little bit different in that if he has runners on base, the reason why you think things are slow is that he was 24 to 26 seconds, 24 seconds when guy's on base. Now, you might say, well, those numbers don't compute. Well, you know, there aren't very many people on base when he pitches, so that's why it kind of averages out. You know, but the other reliever that's going to really, that'll really mess up is Kenley Jansen, because he has all those ticks, you know, those Tourette ticks he does before he pitches. You know, that causes him to be well above 16 seconds. you know. So and one more thing, you mentioned last week about the balanced schedule. You know, as a season as a season ticket holder of the Astros for years and years, we always had to play in the crap NC, you know, National League Central Division, and now we're in the AL West.
Yes.
We would actually look forward to any American League or any out of league team, and even the Astros games last year, the most ones that had the most fans were the ones out of the league. You see, so you know, people in Houston, we're begging for somebody else other than who we have to play.
There you go, a balanced schedule coming in. It'll be interesting to see, because I usually used to get upset where the Phillies were like, hey, we love to play the Yankees every time in this schedule because we'll fill up the ballpark, but then the St. Louis Cardinals were playing Kansas City on repeat every year, just getting easy, free wins. So I do like to see more of a balanced schedule there, K-Dub.
Yeah, that's good. But look, I want to kind of to his point about how this is going to impact some pitchers. All right?
Yeah.
This is why I said at the top of the show, there's a chance that baseball got a little ambitious with the 15 seconds. Again, you like the idea that Luis García has to change the, like, it's one thing, like, Donnie, the purpose is guys wasting time, right?
Yes.
We can't waste time anymore. The idea that Luis García is going to have new pitch mechanics.
Good.
That's not good.
See ya.
That's
back
not
to the independent
good.
League, pal. See
that's
ya.
That's not what you're looking for. That's one. Two, Ohtani. We did it for the first time this morning. We just took a quick glance at the MVP odds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, decent gap between Shohei and Judge. Plus 220 Shohei, plus 650 Judge, right?
Mm-hmm.
The notion, of course, is Ohtani can check boxes that nobody else can check. However, if this ends up mattering, because it's we don't talk about it a lot. Just because Ohtani does both is not why he's the MVP. It's because he can be spectacular at both that makes him the MVP. And I wonder what happens if Ohtani has a down year on the mound. And again, maybe this could potentially mess with Ohtani, but especially if it's a runners in, you know, position thing, right, where things are getting worse for him. It would be really interesting to see how people balance out the Shohei MVP case where all of a sudden him pitching could hurt him. If he's not doing all that well on the mound.
Now, you want to know what I'm worried about in the National League here. Here's the issue we have. Justin Verlander and Max Scherzer, same team splitting votes, K-Dub. Same team.
Oh, my gosh.
What's going to happen there?
Cy Young race.
Does that automatically give it to Corbin Burns? Because nobody's betting that? No, they're not. Sandy Alcantara, 5-1. Corbin Burns, 5-1. Verlander, 7-1. Scherzer, 8-1. So they are back-to-back, but they're just not in the top. Spencer Strider, Atlanta Braves, and Max Fried, Atlanta Braves, 12-1. Where are the Phillies guys at? There we go. Nola, it's funny. They got them like all back-to-back. Nola's 13-1, and Wheeler is 16-1 back-to-back in that spot, too.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, the races should be good. What's the AL like? DeGrom's your favorite, I would imagine.
Let me see. AL. Let's see where that is. MVP. Where's Cy Young? Let's check it out. Boy, there's a lot of pitchers here. Cy Young. All right. Jacob DeGrom, yes. 5-1. Gerrit Cole, 7-1. Dylan Cease, 9-1. Carlos Rodon, 10-1. Shohei, 12-1. And Alec Manoa, 12-1.
Who did Verlander took it last year? Does Cole have to get one at this point? Like, when is Cole going to get this Cy Young?
I mean, he's going to get it over McClanahan. I mean, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, I mean, but then Donnie's splitting votes with Rodon. So he's in a tough. He should have told the Yankees not to sign him.
Yep. Basically, maybe we've got to just kick Tyler Glass now out of town, too, to help McClanahan out. Why does it seem like these guys are back to back with each other? It is kind of funny it's going like that. Nestor Cortez, 50-1.
It's so early in the game, Donnie. Like, if they're in the room, they're like, yeah, just put the teammates back to back. Like, it's all good.
Yes. Exactly. Low limits. See what happens.
Mm-hmm. Let's not worry too much here. What do you think? It's early. I don't know if we should really be getting into this, but
yeah,
DeGrom in Texas, it's one of those things. If he stays healthy, he should be like plus 100 to win Cy Young. You know
yes,
what I'm saying?
Like, and the fact that he was supposed to like get out in the mound, like, hey, by the way, we're going to push it back a week, a little bit of stiffness in his rib cage already. Like,
no, you're kidding.
Go. Yes, absolutely.
Oh, I didn't even see that. You're kidding.
Yeah. They said nothing big deal. We're over precautions, but we're just going to push him back a week, which I think he's now back to throwing again. But seeing that, every Met fan was like, exactly.
No, I'm telling you this. I don't know where you land. We are usually team, you know, pay the stars and whatnot. This will be there will be no revisionist history here. I would have never given DeGrom that contract. I think the Mets did the right thing. I never would have given him that contract. I don't know. I don't actually remember where you landed on all that, DRS. The Mets did the right thing. I would have not paid Jacob DeGrom. All faith in him is completely gone for me in terms of being what you truly, truly need. Because
I'm just surprised they did move on, though. Like, you talk about, like, DeGrom is, like, you know, everybody's firstborn in New York City. That's what it feels like as well, because it was unheard of. Then nobody cared about, oh, DeGrom could be hurt, so what? Cohen, you got more money than God. Just pay the guy. We love DeGrom. I can't imagine him pitching for another team. Now he's pitching for another team, and you're already worried about him being injured. And you sign an aging guy who's been dominant, yes, in Verlander, but only in 2 years. What was it, 2 years, 80-some-odd million? Paid him a lot of money, but it's not like it's a 11-year deal on a 40-year-old pitcher just to get him over to town. So we'll see how that one plays out. But it's interesting to see how some of these numbers are looking. Let me see. Is there, because the MVPs are up, and we went over those. I was just trying to see if there was a... like a batting title or something, because I'm very interested in how some of these teams are going to relay and what it's going to look like now. And also, one of the things that we're not used to, the shift helped defenses. The shift helped pitchers here. What are some of the ERAs that, because again, we're not going to say like, well, look, there's a shift, so everybody tattoos Verlander. But that's a big deal. Like, and also, remind us, or I should remind people, what the shift actually is. It's not to say that it's just some random thing where the guy hits there. Like, you pitch to that, like a pitcher. Hey, we want him to pull the ball. I'm just going to continuously throw inside so he can't do anything but pull it. If you want him to go the other way, we're going to pepper the outside. Everything worked in tandem, which forced you to hit the ball into the shift. Kevin, nobody would shift if you didn't understand where the baseball was going. Like, that's the stupidest thing I've heard. Just going to move everybody to the right side, and this guy just hits a line drive to left field for a base. They're like, no, we know where that guy, over 1,000 at-bats, here's where he's most likely to hit the baseball. And more times than not, you're stealing base hits. Now, granted, was it the occasion where you saw the slow bouncer go down third base? Like, oh, man, that was unbelievable. He got lucky with that. The next three go right to the second baseman. You easily make three straight outs. So I want to see where the pitchers also might be, the ERAs, everything. Walks and hits, the innings pitch, the whip numbers. Let's see where they go.
Yeah, how about this? You know, being a ground ball pitcher, might all of a sudden that might be a bad thing, right? Mm. Because if you're benefiting from the shift, well, now all of a sudden, I'm hitting on the ground. Luckily, you don't have everybody in the right spot all the time. So you can take advantage in that way. You alluded to it this morning, with the hitter prop parlays.
Yes.
You know, could that be an early market inefficiency that's ripe for the picking? Just guys getting hits far more frequently.
Far more frequently. And also, when you talk about, and let's get into the mind of a hitter quickly here. We'll just use, again, a prolific power hitter from the right-hand side, right? Let's just say Bryce Harper. The shift is out there. So are you even more inclined to say, well, there's five guys over there. I better put this ball in the fifth row so I can get a home run, as opposed to just a base hit where you go, okay, it's two strikes. Nobody's on the right side. I'm a pull hitter. If I just put the ball in play, I got a great shot at getting a base hit, as opposed to a line out to a third baseman playing second base. Or again, my favorite one is the diving play by the second baseman in right field as if he's the right fielder. Never can get over those. But I'm interested to see, like, do strikeout numbers now go down because hitters are saying, like, hey, man, like, if I just put the ball in play where I usually do, one or two guys has a chance to catch it, not five.
Yeah, I think this is going to be such a difficult adjustment early, maybe from the books, where, and look, maybe you can wait on the sidelines and find, but it also might not be, you can tell how unsure I am as I, like, am correcting myself with each sentence. Mm-hmm. I wonder if the books just come out aggressive early, 10.5s. Let's get it popping. we're expecting runs. We're hanging big numbers. It might be. They might have to.
And from the Northeast, we got no snow, so who knows if, you know, anything's going to happen in that. Where, again, we were sitting there in the month of April going, like, I don't understand. Like, we're literally in February weather here in April. It doesn't make any sense because that was an ultra-slow start. And, again, you're right. Hey, is Detroit ever going to climb out of this? I don't know, Kevin. There's not one single solid at-bat in this lineup. Good luck tonight on hitting a team total. Hopefully that's not the case here. We really don't want it to be, but we're going to power through here in hour number two. There is some good college basketball and NBA. Let's get to it next. Come on back with us. It's Money.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com. Network.
College basketball action tonight. Elimination games. It's not March, but it certainly is March Madness here. Four games on the NBA docket today. We'll go over those in just a bit, but let's hit the phone lines here. 844-843-6879. Moose, he's here on a Monday. What's up, Moose?
I tell you what a great day. You know, the tornado yes. sirens are going off. I'm sitting on my back deck. You know what? And you know what we do in Ohio when the tornado sirens go off?
Drink.
This is what we do. Give me a cold one. That's what we do. Put on some basketball, watch some hockey. You know, and hey, you know, you can have the combine. You know, that's a waste of time. So that is an absolute waste of time. And I see old Pablo Escobar, man. I guess he really kicked some butt this weekend in the box office.
Yeah, what did he do, Moose? What were the numbers? What were the numbers? You get them?
You know
what happened?
It was up there. I think something like 22 or 23 million over the weekend or something like that.
Good for the Bear.
But they
get any residuals.
They're saying it outreached their expectations. But
one ticket reached my expectation. Yeah.
I tell you what, Buckeyes played some decent basketball. You know, I think that they got a pretty good group of freshmen going to watch him next year. And hey, I got to let you go because these winds are picking up, and I'm heading to the basement, boys. We'll talk to you later.
Getting in before the storm there out there. I mean, we got tornadoes in Ohio now. My goodness, you ever been through a tornado, Kate? I've ever seen one. One of my life's pleasures. I need to see one.
Oh,
I do. I tell my wife all the time. I'm telling you, where I used to live, which was on a golf course. But I had a good lookout from my back deck. Like, I could see, like, the full scape of, like the horizon, I should say, in all directions. And we would get big monster storms. And they would be like, hey, tornado warnings in your area. I used to look out my back window for, like, an hour at a time, praying that I would see one. Now, we had some tornadoes in our area, but I was never able to see one. I need to see one. I do. It's one of those things.
So, I mean, I don't know if this, whatever, if it's a dumb question, so be it. Won't be my first, won't be my last. Is it hard to go see one? Like, is it, I'm not saying you can go outside, but like, if you really wanted to, could you go see one?
Like, yes, Tornado Alley, like out in Oklahoma, like during tornado season, like there's people that chase it and stuff where I'm sure you could probably get like, hey, look, when they contact these people, I would like to do a ride along with you. Like, sure, like you're definitely going to see one next week. We're all over the place in this, you know, 100-mile radius here. The minute our information says possible tornado, we drive out there and look for one. Yes, I do believe it's possible. And if you are in the South or the Midwest, you've probably seen one. Like, I don't want to be in the tornado, but I think I need to see one. I really do. I really do. It's one of my things.
All right. I mean, be careful, though. And I don't want anything to happen to you.
Yeah. I mean, I can outrun that bad boy. Comes at me, took it to the left or the right. Yeah.
Doris, when was the last time you had to put a sprint on?
I told you. My daughter was getting ready for track season. I told her I would run. And it was it was a tenth of a mile. It was basically like a mailbox to a mailbox.
Mm-hmm.
And like the first day went well. The second day I was really sore. The third and the fourth day, I think I was pulling my hamstrings left and right. I couldn't believe it. Like, you know, when you're a kid. 18, 19, 20, like you're saying, like, how did, like, what does it feel like to actually, like, get old? Because you can't fathom at that point. You can roll out of bed. You don't need to stretch. You're getting after it. I'm telling you, man, like, that was like, oh, my goodness. Like, this is, like, there is father time out here, and he's real.
All right. So, yeah, when was the last time I did throw a sprint on? Is it when I shoved that guy in the basketball game?
Exactly.
Is that the last time you tune it up?
Or as people were saying, like how when you ran away when everybody was getting after it, you know what I mean? One of those.
No. There's video evidence out there, man. We can't be that. Listen, there's one narrative that comes out of that, and that's not the one. I'll say that right now.
That's where you need a burner account, get the tape, put it out there, and be like, man, who put that out there?
Man.
You know what I mean? Like somebody puts like that one of those memes out there, it's like, man, who did this? Man, you know you did it, and you put it out there. Stop it, Winnie. Who did this?
Yeah.
You did.
I mean, yeah, it wasn't me. Wasn't me.
He never was. No tornadoes ever in Queens City.
No.
Certainly. Never saw one. See, you probably have a pretty good vantage point, though. Like, what were you on? Like the 32nd floor? Is that where you guys lived out there in Queens?
You know what, man?
Like, you look out your high rise and be like, hey, man, I can see the horizon here.
Been to Queens?
Look at the wind coming. No.
Have you been to Queens?
I don't think anybody's ever been to Queens.
Why did you say it like that?
Or Eddie Murphy. Yeah, nobody's been to Queens.
What are you talking about?
It's got to be the least gone to borough. Like, Brooklyn, awesome. Wow. You know what I mean? Wow. Cool stuff.
Have you been to Brooklyn?
Yes, I've been to Bed-Stuy.
When was the last time you went to the city, and don't say it's all the city? When was the last time you went to the city, Manhattan?
Oh, wow. Like, it been in the, I guess it might have been like the Big East tournament, like in 17 or 18. It's been a good 4 years that I've been in the city.
Wait, yeah. Is that where your big meeting?
Yeah, me and Big. BMOC? Yeah, sure.
Wow.
Met all the boys. Right. Little Versa action. Had a nice meal.
All right.
Why would you ask that? Like, what does that have to do with the tornado in the city? Anything?
Well, no. The tornado thing is completely irrelevant at this point now. Now you're just slandering the city and Queens and all these things in between. But your reaction to me asking you about going to Queens was, have you ever been to a Mets game?
Yes.
City Field. You went to Shea?
Yes. I went to Shea in 2001.
Okay. Wow.
Al Leiter was on the mound for the Mets that night. They were playing Chipper Jones's Atlanta Braves.
It wasn't a Phillies game. What brought you out to the ballpark?
Yes, this was way back in the day where somebody of a significant other status was a Braves fan, and that's why we ended up there. So now my wife doesn't listen to the show, so it doesn't matter at this point. I have to explain myself anywhere at this point now. So now. Now, just to keep it with that, like, action, right? So, like, when I talk about the city, there's always jokes. My wife was born in Philadelphia, South Philadelphia. I was born in New Jersey. So there is a lot of takes that get really upset in this house, but I laugh under my skin because I ask these questions. Because, like, the city, to me, is very interesting in a way. Like, did you guys, like, were you able to play in the city? And she was like, we had parks. I was like, was there any football? Like, where did you actually play? They did this and that. And my favorite ones are this. Like, what did you do for fun? Like, we'll be talking to friends. Like, hey, look, like, we used to go down and shoot hoops or play in the street. I was like, the wife, like, she always told me, like playing was like kicking the can down the street, like legitimately like a can. And it always goes over well on my side. But that's from not living in the city. It's hard to me to comprehend what city kids actually did. It really is.
But see, now this is where because there's a part of Philly that people call the city, kind of, right? Is that what you're referring to? Because you said she's from South Philadelphia. Is that what you're referring to when you say the city? You're not talking about Manhattan.
No, yeah, exactly. I'm talking about her. Yes.
I was having a conversation with someone at one point. I was like, yeah, like, I'm trying to find City Park, and like, it's been brutal.
Yes.
And look, you try and be polite, but I was like, look, I just want to, set the record straight. Like, you can't be saying that. Like, you can't be driving around Philadelphia and be like, I'm struggling to park in the city. Like, that's, you're not in the city. You know what I'm saying?
Why not?
No. There's one, the city. And that's Manhattan. All right. So let's get that straight and adjust.
Which part of the city is harder to park in? Queens, Brooklyn, Manhattan? Which part?
Manhattan has the most rules. So that is the answer.
I wouldn't be able to live.
No. Let me tell you something. I don't know where you live, but I got an idea.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be able to live with having to look for parking and stuff like that.
No, I don't.
Crazy. Can you parallel park?
I can, but I don't like to do it. And just to give you another little synopsis of my life here, I remember when my wife still had a house in the city before we got married. We were just dating. And she was like, all right, come pick me up on my X street. I ended up parking like in the Acme, like four blocks down, because I just did not want to deal with it. Now, granted, I lived in North Jersey where I would come home late from work and drive around my neighborhood repeatedly and park like five streets down to get a parking spot. And I never wanted to do that again. Yes, I don't live in any area where I never have to worry about parking. That's where I'm at this point. Let's get to the X-Man here. I know he's hot today. It's a Monday. We got hockey. We got NBA. We got college basketball. We got tournaments. It's beginning. X-Man, we need those winners to start the week. What's up?
Yeah. Shout out to Rutgers. Shout out to Denver Nuggets.
Ooh.
The Rutgers Scarlet Light yesterday. And they had a good season. Big up the Rutgers.
Mm-hmm.
But My picks for the day, we're going with the Boston Celtics on the money line.
Ooh, jeez.
We're going with the Baylor Bears on the money line, college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Going with the Edmonton Oilers and the Colorado Avalanche on the money line.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it.
What are we paying
today? 10-1.
Give me some prices. Yeah, it's 10-1. It's nice. Keep it sound. Keep it short. Get that double in the week. I like it. So we got NBA action, college basketball, and also some hockey to get after it.
A lot of good stuff. It's a full board, full card out there in these streets, as they say.
I do. Now, are we getting down with any futures coming up here, X-Man, with the college basketball tournament coming up? You going to hit us off with those before it begins? Say nice.
Going with the Kansas Jayhawks. That's my
there
favorite team. Kansas.
There you go. K-Dub, rock Charles Jayhawk for you there. Yeah,
the
who
NBA,
we got?
I said the Boston Celtics at the beginning of the year, Bill Russell, rest in peace, Bill Russell. The Boston Celtics bringing it back this year.
What about the Lakers? What about the Lakers?
The Lakers, they currently 13th in the West.
Tell them. Tell them there's no shot.
That's the best. You know what, man? That's a simple but effective reply.
There you go.
I was pretty good. Nothing else needed to be said. All right.
How about this one?
Enough.
You ready for this one? Let's go international here. Phone lines open. Huh? Get back after it. Richard from Toronto. He's from the six here, K-Dub. Wow. What's good, Richard?
Yeah, calling from the six, Donnie. Thanks for taking my call.
Woo, let's go. What do we got?
I'm calling with some picks for tonight.
I love it. Give it up.
Right.
Let's go.
Okay. I'm going to the ice first.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're going with a same game parlay. Alternate line, 5.5 over Boston, Edmonton. Then Connor McDavid, David Pastrnak, both over 4.5 shots on goal. That gives you a plus 4.67.
There we go.
All right.
Love it. By the way, Connor McDavid, ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah, ridiculous. That's why, and I have a system play. Whenever he plays on the same night with McKinnon and Pastor, I take those overs together. You can, and they'll all hit with the team totals, right? So you put that together, all those together, what I just said, the black over, and we're going to the big sky. Going to Northern Colorado, team total over. Plus 2670.
I love it. See that, K-Dub? Using a little bit of that, you know, elbow grease there at the end. Northern Colorado. I mean, that's just it warms my heart. It really warms my heart at that point. By the way, kind of like I say this every time. Like, why do the Oilers not have like 7 straight Stanley Cups with McDavid? Every highlight I see, he's blowing by somebody with multiple goals on the night. Be a shame if that guy doesn't take anything down at this point, Mike. I mean, help the guy out, Leon. Where's Leon Draisaitl out? They help the guy out once in a while. I mean, finish around the net here, people. We're going to come back here in just a few moments to close this down with more picks. The people are popping today, and we're delivering right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The SportsGrid Radio Network.
Don't you fumble the bag tonight, people. You heard it. I love when the callers call in K-Dub and they give their fire out. Some people are scared. Little stage fright out here? No. Not on this show. People calling in. They got hot plays. We let the people know. We cheer them on. See if we can make some waves out here. Now, not a huge college basketball card tonight. Not a huge NBA card. So I'm actually on with the NBA tonight, Kevin. I'm going to take a look at the Philadelphia 76ers. Team total over 111.5. Now, the Sixers on the season average 115.4 points per game, which makes some sense. But more so, Kevin, remember we always used to talk about, like, man, don't ever take a player prop against the Miami Heat. Look at their last four games on defense. 112, 116, 128, 108. Very un-Heat-like at that point, which if you do the math, it's 116 points a game. I'm going to take the opposite approach with the Sixers. Like, oh, what a devastating loss against the Celtics. How can we ever recover and take out some frustrations on the Heat tonight? Do I think they win and cover? I do. But I do think the Philadelphia 76ers flirt with that 111.5 and go over. I'll take that. And also, just a side note here. Oh, it looks like Sixers, whatever. I took Jimmy Butler also over 4.5 assists tonight. Over the past seven games, Kevin, averaging 5.5 assists per game. So we'll take a Jimmy Butler prop because we'll be excited to be in Philadelphia. But I'll take the Sixers team total over 111.5. JP, where is your player prop tonight? Down in Charlotte.
Yeah, I'm taking LaMelo to get over the 42.5 points, rebounds, and assists against the Pistons.
I'm the guy who fills it up. When I had the other night, and I looked at this, like, you know, I passed on him. He was lighting it up at the break. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, man, did I miss on that? Great player here. K-Dub, where are we going tonight? Monday Night Raw, where? Where are we going?
No, certainly not. That number's moved a little bit, that under that we had talked about in the Hornets-Pistons game overall, though, that big 236. It's down to 234.5. But a number that's gone the other direction has been this increase in the total for North Carolina and Florida State, which I understand there's reason for it, but I'm going to look to basically sell the top of this, specifically on the UNC side. That team total, 81.5. They have not gone over that on the road this season. They've not been a good road favorite at all. I'm going to look to fade UNC's team total.
That's how you get it started for the week here. Moneyline, we're going to be on fire the rest of the week here, having a lot of fun. For JP, Donnie, and Kevin, thanks for tuning in. But you know what? We'll be back tomorrow. See you later.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.